Hey, what's up, Cub fans? Welcome to episode 127 of Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Ryan Davis. I am not joined by Sean Sears today. I'm not sure where Sean is, but we're getting rolling anyway. I'm a writer for Bet Chicago. I also have done work for NBC Sports Chicago. You can also find me at The Athletic occasionally, been at CubsInsider.com. A lot of history, a lot of different places that would probably take an entire podcast to tell you all the places that I've written. But currently, Bet Chicago, which is where you could find my recent article on Bryce Harper and the Cubs. I'll have the link in the description so you guys can read that, and I'll talk a little bit about that as we go on. But first, we'll talk about what the Cubs did yesterday, and we'll look ahead to today's game. I've got a question from a listener that we'll dive into, which deals a little bit with what I wrote. Second segment, we'll talk a little bit about John Lester's start, and then final segment, we'll just wrap talking about the NL Central and what the standings look like. So the Cubs did what we said they would yesterday, which was score one run on seven hits. I mean, that was just a weird prediction. But the good thing is, they did get an excellent start from John Lester, which was really badly needed. The bullpen held it down, so they beat the Pittsburgh Pirates 1-0. Ian Happ hit a home run, and that was it. The Cubs are now a season-high 20 games over 500, and Lester just looked absolutely outstanding. We'll talk about that in the second segment. So tonight, Cole Hamels returns to the mound for the Cubs against Trevor Williams. Hamels has started three games in a Cubs uniform, tossing 18 innings with 11 hits allowed, four walks, 20 strikeouts, and just two earned runs. Williams, on the other hand, has allowed two earned runs over his last five starts for the Pirates. Against the Cubs this season, he's thrown six innings with one earned run and five strikeouts, and that was in a Pirates victory back in April. So, Trevor Williams is an interesting pitcher. He's not a guy that you really think of as like an ace, and he doesn't have ace numbers, but he's been a guy who the Pirates have really relied on quite a bit this year, especially lately. He has good stuff. He doesn't strike out a ton of batters. He just goes out and gets you out. And the Cubs just seem to have struggled with him in the past. I don't have it up right in front of me, but I know that they have generally struggled with him. At the same time, Cole Hamels, his first start was against the Pirates in Pittsburgh. Five innings. They kind of worked up his pitch count. But he struck out nine batters, only allowed one run. It was not earned. So this is a matchup that, the Cubs have their ace on the mound. I guess after three starts, it's okay to refer to Hamels that way, right? So ace on the mound, this is a game that you hope that the Cubs would win. Looking at Trevor Williams' history, then I do have it up with the Cubs. He has been knocked around a little bit a few times. He's started four games against them. Only the one quality start, really. For some reason, I just remember him pitching better against the Cubs than he actually has. So it hasn't been great for him against the Cubs. A 4.12 ERA, which is fine, over four starts. But really, if you just look at his last five, seven innings against the Cardinals, no earned runs, seven innings against the Giants, no earned runs, five innings against the Cardinals, two earned runs, six shutout innings against the Mets, six shutout innings against Cleveland, five shutout innings against the Washington Nationals. So he's a guy that really you just can't, you can't let the Pirates get up on you in this game. He doesn't strike out a ton of batters over his last 36 innings, 13 walks, 18 strikeouts. Those are not good numbers, but in those 36 innings, he has a 2.75 ERA. So this is a guy who finds ways to make you get out. It's weak contact, pop-ups, all that usual stuff. He's not a junk baller by any means, but he figures out how to get you out. So for Hamels, I wrote this story on Bet Chicago, and it was really in response to a friend of mine and colleague at Bet Chicago, Tommy Stokey. He wrote about how the Cubs would be foolish not to sign Bryce Harper. And that was in response to a poll that was on NBC Sports Chicago, where like 82% of viewers said the Cubs should not sign Harper, which is insane. So he wrote that they should. And so I wanted to write a response article, not in disagreement per se. The title of my article is "Signing Bryce Harper Won't Solve Everything for the Cubs," and I brought up a lot of his stats. There are a few lines where I say, Harper has been pretty inconsistent year to year, but we can't ignore the fact that he's still a good player. And, you know, in his best years, he's this generation's Frank Robinson, which is absolutely fair. If you look at the best years of Frank Robinson and the best years of Bryce Harper, very comparable. But the big problem, I think, for the Cubs and what I think they really need to focus on improving in the offseason is their starting pitching. You can't rely on this exact same group, which are all under contract for next year. You can't rely on this exact same group to come back and be good enough for you. Maybe if they, if Hendricks pitches like an ace and Darvish comes back and pitches like an ace and John Lester turns back into 2016 John Lester, Cole Hamels is great. If all that happens, and the Cubs win the World Series, maybe this is different, but it doesn't look like that's the road they're going down. It looks like Hendricks is a very good number two, which is what we kind of, thought he was for the most part. He's the ace of this staff, I think, but he's a great number two on a World Series team. Lester has been in decline the last 2 years, despite a great start yesterday. He's not a top of the rotation pitcher anymore. If you look at his numbers, he's more of a three or a four. Darvish, you just don't know. You can't go into next year counting on him to be, your number one starter going 32 games over 200 innings. I mean, this is a guy who's had Tommy John surgery. This is a guy who's missed basically almost all of the season. That's not a guy you're going to count on. So, in my opinion, I think to improve their roster in the winter, the Cubs are going to need to go out and get a top of the rotation type starter and maybe shuffle around some of what they already have. Now, in the article, I point out free agency. Patrick Corbin of the Diamondbacks is going to be there. Dallas Keuchel should be a free agent. Gio Gonzalez, our own Cole Hamels. I mentioned him. The big prize that I brought up was Clayton Kershaw, who can opt out of his last 2 years and seems likely to do that, although there are some reasons for concern with Kershaw having the back issues. But that's really the player that I tackled the most was Kershaw. And if you can sign him and you could only take one, would you take Kershaw or would you take Bryce Harper? And I feel like there's a case for both. And if you're interested, go read that article. I laid out the case for it, but it leads us into a question that we have. This comes from Brad on Twitter. He says, if Hamels continues to be good, why delve into the free agent market rather than just pick up his one-year $20 million option that they hold? So, important note, they do have, I think it's either $5 or $6 million that has to be paid to Hamels if they don't pick up the option. But the Texas Rangers are on the hook for that money. So if the Cubs decide, no, we're not going to pick up a one-year $20 million on Cole Hamels, they can let him go for free. Or they could, if they feel like the market will not give him that kind of money, they could let him go and then re-sign him to a cheaper deal. And it wouldn't cost them the $6 million to cut him loose. That money comes from the Texas Rangers. So that, I think, would be probably the smarter decision. Maybe not picking up the option because it doesn't cost you anything. And then testing the market, seeing, hey, what does Clayton Kershaw want? What kind of money does Dallas Keuchel want? What kind of money does Gio Gonzalez want? And really figure it out from there. And if you end up going back to Cole Hamels and saying, hey, we've got a three-year deal worth $40 million for you, or a two-year deal with an option, that might be the smarter route rather than giving him $20 million for 1 year and not testing the waters at least a little bit. So that's my answer to that question. Again, I'll put the description in the description. I'll put the link to my story. You can also find that I've retweeted it on my personal Twitter account at Ryan Q Davis. Also retweeted it at Locked on Cubs, so go check it out there. We'll go to our second segment. We'll talk a little bit about John Lester, and I have some ideas for playoff teams you might not want to face should the Cubs get there. So yesterday, John Lester's line, 6 innings pitched, 5 hits, 0 walks, 0 earned runs, season-high 8 strikeouts. He was absolutely excellent. against the Pirates, who are not a great team at this point. They're back at 500. There were a couple jams he got out of. One of them was a first and third with two outs. They're only up 1-0, of course. And Ivan Nova, fortunately, the pitcher he was pitching against was the guy at the plate. and he is not a good hitter. I think he was batting 023 coming into that plate appearance. Lester went 3-0 on him, unfortunately. And really, if Nova never took the bat off his shoulder, Lester would have walked him. And that would have been terrible. But he did swing outside the zone at ball four for strike three. And Lester got out of the jam. Ian Happ hit that home run, and really the Cubs bullpen made it stand. I think it was Cishek and Carl Edwards, and then Pedro Strop in the ninth. Just really great stuff. So the big story here is Lester. I think we had talked about his previous seven starts had an 8.65 ERA. That was something we talked about yesterday. Lester has been just absolutely outstanding overall for the Cubs since coming to the team. And yesterday was an example of what you need from him. Now, does he need to go out and allow only five base runners in six innings and strike out eight every single time? Well, you'd love that, but no, he doesn't have to be that great. This is just the guy we need in the postseason. You need John Lester to show up in the postseason, and I still think he's going to. No matter what he does the rest of the way, so long as he's not injured, so long as he doesn't have his mechanics go crazy, which he typically doesn't, I think that the guy you're going to see show up in the postseason, when it's October, when it's starting to cool off, when the best umpires are out there, everyone wants to complain about umpires, but the cream of the crop is what goes to the postseason, at least in theory. Yeah, I know Joe West is there, but when you have the best umpires on the biggest stage, not wanting to miss, outside the zone. Really focusing, coming down hard on that strike zone. That's when you see John Lester at his best, hitting those corners. And I think that you're going to see that in the postseason again this year. You're going to see John Lester out there pitching really well for the Cubs again. The hope is that maybe he doesn't have to start a game until game three or four, that you could bump him back in the rotation a little bit and go with guys like Darvish if he's healthy, Hamels, Hendricks, to start a series and then finish it off with John Lester. That would be an ideal situation, I think. So, speaking of the postseason, I started thinking recently, now that the Nationals are pretty much out of the race, unless they really decide to go on a tear, I think that David Bote essentially broke them. The Cardinals beat them 3 out of 4. They're 61-61. Hard to imagine them coming back and winning the NL East or a wild card spot. So who do you want to face in the NLDS, or better question, who do you not want to face? And I have a team for the NLDS, and I also have a team for the wild card. So if the Cubs are in the NLDS, I think the team that they would not want to face are the Atlanta Braves. And the simple reason for that is this is a team that's relatively young. They have guys like Ozzie Albies, Dansby Swanson, Ronald Acuna. They have an MVP candidate in Freddie Freeman. You don't want to have to face this team. Nick Markakis is the kind of guy who would just be a thorn in your side in a playoff series. Ender Inciarte can run the ball down in center field. They're the best offensive team in the National League by run scored as of today. They've scored one more run than the Cubs, so they're leading in that category. So they can score with the best of them. They have better starting pitching than the Cubs, just statistically. Mike Foltynewicz is having an excellent year. Anibal Sanchez is really bounced back. They have some really good pitchers they can throw at you. They've had some injuries in the bullpen. Aroldis Vizcaino has been out for most of the year. So there are questions there. But overall, I think in a short series, the Braves are pretty terrifying. If you're looking at just one game series, the wild card game, I feel like the Phillies might be the team that you really want to avoid. I'm probably giving up here on a little bit on the Dodgers, specifically because they can throw Kershaw out in that one game playoff and really just mow you down. But man, if you're the Cubs, you really don't want to face Jake Arrieta in a one game playoff game. Not because he's been great or outstanding this year, but really just because that's a little embarrassing. You let him go, you sign Yu Darvish instead for more money. He misses most of the season. And you end up in a one game playoff against Jake Arrieta. If you lose that game, that's a really bad look. So that's the reason I go with that. I think the Phillies are a team that could win a one game playoff, but I don't believe in them as much in a postseason series, like a 5 or a 7 game series. They're a team that I think could win the wild card, however, based on just one great performance from Jake Arrieta. So those are my teams. There are other dangerous teams too. I really love to see the Cubs playing the Brewers in the postseason, because I feel like that would be a fun series. If the Cardinals get in, I think that would be a fun series, another NLDS with them. Right now, the Cubs have the best record in the National League, but they're only 2 games ahead of the Braves. So at this point, they would face whoever the wild card team is. If the playoffs started, let's say tomorrow, the Cubs would be in the NLDS and they'd be waiting on the winner of the wild card game. So let's go ahead and wrap on this. We'll go to our final segment. And we'll talk a little bit about the standings. So the Brewers and the Reds were off last night. The Cardinals lost the finale of their 4-game set with the Washington Nationals. That was by a score of 5-4. The Cubs beat the Pirates, as we know. So the standings changed a little bit. The Cubs are 70-50, which is a season high, 20 games over 500. The Brewers are 68-55. Now they're 3.5 back, which I think is the Cubs. It ties their biggest lead in the division. The Cardinals are 66-56, which puts them 5 games back. The Pirates are 61-61 at 10 games back, and the Reds 52-69, 18.5 games back. I don't have a whole lot else to add here. I didn't really plan to do this solo without Sean today, but I'm guessing maybe he overslept this morning, which is totally okay. I can handle it. I'm a big boy, so that's fine. Hopefully Sean gets back to me soon, and I'll let him have it a little bit. Maybe next week I'll make him do a podcast by himself. So if you have any thoughts, send them our way at LockedOnCubs on Twitter. You can also email us any questions. I appreciate when you guys send questions like Brad did about Hamels. You can send that our way either at LockedOnCubs on Twitter. You can also tweet at me on my account at Ryan Q Davis. Sean is at Sean R Sears. And we're also on Gmail on the email machine at LockedOnCubs@gmail.com. Send us your thoughts. Send us your questions. I appreciate that you guys have been really interacting with us online and helping us improve the podcast. We've been seeing a lot of the reviews, which have been really good. So thank you again. We appreciate all of our listeners. We're trying to grow the podcast and make it bigger. The ticket giveaway was just one thing. I gave away some items. If you're new, relatively new to the podcast, I gave away some items a few months ago, some pretty cool Cubs memorabilia items. So we're working on it. We're trying our best to fix any of the issues we're having. If you have problems or you think that we're doing something wrong or something that you just don't like about the podcast that maybe you still want to stick with it, but there's just that one thing, send a very nice email to us and let us know that there's something we could work on. Can't promise that if it's something that we like or something that the bulk of the people like, we won't just say, well, thank you for the email, but no thank you. We're open to constructive criticism. Try and send it in a constructive way. Let us know what you like and then also what you don't like, and we'll try and make it better. So again, this has been episode 127 of Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Ryan Davis. You can find my work at Bet Chicago. Please go read my thing about Bryce Harper and the Cubs. That's at Bet Chicago. You can also read me at The Athletic. I have something coming up there soon on minor league baseball. I may have something there about Jose Quintana coming up. I'm not exactly sure if it's going to run there or if it's going to run somewhere else. And I think that's it. All right. Talk to you guys next week.